Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just a few miles to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley. To learn more, visit DestinationDelco.com. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Barry DeLara, Commissioner of Bedford County, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Some time back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
Good morning from the County of Bedford. And joining me is Commissioner Barry DeLara. Barry, you are the first, yes, you are. You're the first senior political figure I have talked to on this radio show. It is an honor to have you. We did talk to a congressman, but hey, you know, it's not the same. We want to talk to the local guys. Anyway, welcome and thank you so much for coming on the program.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I'm not sure if you meant senior is really, was that indicative of my age? Is it you referenced senior there?
Are you the eldest of the commissioners?
I think Commissioner Cooks.
Well, then you're not the senior guy. I mean, that's okay. Just the way that is. We're not going to say cast dispersions about your relative youth.
Youth.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, youths, right. Barry DeLara is an interesting fellow. He has had a very interesting background. You are from Blairsville, I understand.
Blairsville, Pennsylvania, yes. 42 miles east of Pittsburgh.
Because as the new kid in South Central Pennsylvania, I didn't know where Blairsville was. So yeah. Is Blairsville considered a exurb of Pittsburgh, or is it unto itself?
It's a bedroom community for many of the other areas, Pittsburgh being one of them, Latrobe, Greensburg, Indiana. Residents of Blairsville migrate away from Blairsville for family-supporting employment.
Yeah. So it's not unlike a lot of the smaller towns in Pennsylvania. Where.
Correct.
So where did you go to school?
High school, Blairsville Joint High School. Graduated in 1963.
I see you're not such an old guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Not a young spring chicken anymore either.
Okay. And then you went to college, obviously. So where did you go to school?
Right after high school, I worked in a grocery store. Went to school in Pittsburgh, full-time, worked part-time, took drafting, design technology at a proprietary school. Got a job a couple years later working for Kennametal and Latrobe. And then I got a letter that told me that my friends and neighbors had selected me to serve in the armed forces and protect our country in October of 66. And that's when I was drafted and became a member of the armed forces.
So unlike Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, you actually went. Good for you.
The president said we need people to be in the military to fight communism, and I went. Yeah.
Good. So how long did you spend in the Army?
Spent 3 years of active duty. First year was your basic and advanced individual training. Then I went to OCS at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, just outside of D.C. Graduated as a second lieutenant. I was a 90-day, I guess it was 180-day wonder, and then was stationed at Fort Irwin, California for the next 2 years.
I actually have been to Fort Belvoir, and it's quite a
beautiful fort.
Quite a facility, as long as you don't mind leaving 95 at the speed of about 80 miles an hour to get off before they run you over down there.
That's right.
It's a wonderful spot down there near the Potomac. So I understand you spent a lot of reserve time, and you ended up being a full colonel before you retired?
Yes. I I spent most of my time in the active reserves in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. We were a combat corps engineer battalion. I got to end up as the battalion commander and then went on to Pittsburgh to be part of the general staff as a deputy chief of staff for personnel.
So the service, that is the military service experience, had to be tremendously helpful to you in your regular day career. So yeah. You entered school administration. Were mm-hmm. you actually a teacher before you did that?
Taught 12 years at Chestnut Ridge in drafting and graphic arts, mostly drafting. Mm-hmm. Began to take courses in school administration, and after 12 years of teaching, had the opportunity to be selected to be the director of the Bedford Everett Area Vocational Technical School in 1985.
You don't hear too much about drafting anymore. Do they still teach it in school?
Well, once CAD came on the scene.
This is computer-aided drafting.
Yes.
Okay.
That started to phase out the manual draft person. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of basics a person that's going to be a CAD operator needs to know. I'm not sure what the prep for those careers is anymore and how much is actually hands-on with a T-square and a slide and a scale. I really don't know that anymore.
Do you see any future in the VOTEC business? We have a strong VOTEC here in Bedford County.
Yeah, we have a great career and tech center in Bedford County, and they do very well for preparing students for entry-level jobs. The important thing for parents, I think, to keep track of when they have their children proceed through high school and or a tech school is look long term. What is the career area the student's going to study so they have career ladder opportunities within the field, not just an entry-level job?
Let's get from you a little civics lesson. And you're a former teacher, so this should be very, very easy for you to do. County government is a subject I think a lot of folks are very hazy because they see you out there, but in Pennsylvania, counties no longer operate roads, they no longer operate police departments, they operate a sheriff's department, but the average citizen doesn't get to see a sheriff very often, or at least he shouldn't if he's being a good person. So give us a little civic lesson on what a county actually does for the citizens here.
The best analogy I've heard since serving in county government, which started in February of 2014, is that it's a mile wide and a foot deep. There's quite a breadth to the responsibilities of county government, yet we have, in many cases, not a lot of authority to make and implement the changes that sometimes we feel we would want to make. County government, core county government functions, the correctional facility, children and youth services, the court system, our register and recorder, the tax assessment office, and the prothonotary's office, along with our interaction with many other human services departments in the county, MHID, formerly MHMR, Area Agency on Aging, Solid Waste Authority. So the breadth of county responsibilities is great, and we have a fiduciary responsibility to all of the citizens to make sure we help all of those functions operate as effective and efficiently as we can.
So it's kind of you have interaction with the county when you're born, when you get married, when you get old, and when you die. And when you get in trouble.
If you get in trouble.
And you have these magnificent photographs on the wall of the bridges mm-hmm. that you maintain.
Yeah.
Which has always been interesting to me about the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because unlike other states, the power in Pennsylvania comes from the bottom to the top. So that's one of the reasons you said a foot deep mm-hmm. or an inch deep or whatever you said. So you can't tell townships what to do. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Or a borough or whoever it is.
That's correct.
You can advise them. You can give them expertise, but yep. they make their own decisions at the bottom.
Absolutely. To the extent that if we would pass an ordinance and there is a township or borough ordinance, that ordinance would take precedence over the county ordinance. So, no, the boroughs and the townships are totally standalone municipalities that operate under the Pennsylvania state government's constitution, and the county has no authority over them.
And one of the things that's also interesting to me, it drives the master planners insane in Pennsylvania, because if they're trying to do any kind of planning across borough and township lines, they have to get the approval and buy-in from every one of those entities before anything happens, and that is rare. So the county's planning department can help advise them on what to do, but unlike Maryland, which has county planning, here you do it individually by township and borough. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Which I don't think is a bad thing. I think we used to in the military criticize the Soviet Union, Communist China, and their centralized planning.
Right.
And I keep watching our country move more and more towards centralized government planning, centralized control, and losing more and more of local control. And I don't believe that is a good thing. In all its minutiae of dealing with the individual municipalities, that still engages a lot of local people in the process, which otherwise get left out. And when you see what happens in the Veterans Administration and immigration and what centralized planning and control does in its way it can't be efficient, I'm glad Pennsylvania is the way it is. And we have good cooperation among townships, boroughs, and the county. I truly believe that.
Well, this is good to hear you say this, because that's not a common belief among many commissioners in Pennsylvania. They want to see more control so these people will behave. You know? Well, but their notion of behaving and their notion of behaving is somewhat different sometimes.
I think 99% of the people in Bedford County or more behave very well. I don't think they need us to tell them how to behave.
Right.
I really don't.
So that's why we have no county police department like there is in other states, because the police departments are either local municipal departments or state police.
Mm-hmm. And the sheriff's department is specifically designed to serve the courts. Mm-hmm. Serve notices to people when they haven't paid their taxes, transport prisoners from the correctional facility to a court hearing or to another prison, not to engage in law enforcement per se, although they have the authority if somebody is committing a crime to address the concern and act.
I posed that question once to Sheriff Bunny Welsh in Chester County. And I said, can one of your sheriffs pull me over for speeding? She said, well, it depends how fast you're going. Because they are Act 120 officers, but
yes,
they don't act in that rule. So that's interesting. Our guest is Barry DeLara, who is the one of the members of the Bedford County Commissioners. Do you have chairman, vice chairman, and that sort of thing?
Yes. Commissioner Morris is the chair commissioner. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Crooks is the vice chair, and I'm the secretary.
Gotcha. Okay. So I didn't know how it worked here. So this is very, very interesting. Okay. Well, Barry DeLara is going to tell us more about this sort of thing, and I've attended several of their meetings. In fact, they're probably tired of seeing me come. I sit in the front and I watch them do things, and it's actually very instructive. And I come here because I think it's a very interesting thing to do. I recommend you to also. You could learn a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people come usually come to ask you about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the biggest meetings, it's always something to do with their pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a little more of a civics lesson. Can you explain the difference to a homeowner specifically, the difference between a property school tax, which you pay to the school district, and a county tax?
Sure. Well, they're both real estate taxes. School districts have authority, which is unlike in other states neighboring us where that's handled at the county level. In Pennsylvania, school districts have taxing authority, and that there are 501 school districts in Pennsylvania. So every school district can levy taxes, as well as boroughs, townships, and counties. And the county levies a real estate tax. School districts levy real estate taxes. And those bills are generated by the school district based on the levying authority and the millage rate that they establish each year in their budget.
We'll return with Commissioner Barry DeLara here on Bedford County Speaks. And we're going to a little bit more about the county's growth and also some of the opportunities that are emerging here for young people as Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. Destination Delco, from Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. 5 different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. just before Rush on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
Everybody talks about growth. I don't care what county you're in. Mm-hmm. It could be in Allegheny County, Philadelphia County, Venango County, Bucks County, Somerset County, Cumberland County. It doesn't matter what the county is. Bedford County. Everybody wants to talk about growth. And yet some of them talk about bad growth versus good growth. Some of them talk too fast, too slow, not enough. Where is Bedford? Do you want it to grow? Are you happy where it is now? Is it doing okay? How's the growth thing here? I mean, how's that doing?
In 1985, the population of Bedford County was right around 50,000 people, and we had approximately 21,000 workers. In 2015, 30 years later, the population of Bedford County is 49,614 people, and we have about 22,000 workers. So in 30 years, we've seen a lot of change in Bedford County, where some industries have come and gone, and new ones have replaced them. REI, Walmart, and the Walmart Distribution Center being the bigger job offering opportunities in numbers, and in many cases have good family-sustaining wages. The Bedford Springs also, 30 years ago, was closed, and its future was extremely uncertain. And today, the Bedford Springs is thriving. It brings an awful lot of commerce to Bedford County and employs, my last number I received was over 400 people at the Bedford Springs. So it has a tremendous economic impact for Bedford County also. So there's a lot has changed and a lot has stayed the same. Since the deindustrialization, it started back in the late 70s where the mills closed, the steel mills, the mines, because of environmental reasons, have been shut. We've lost one type of basically family-sustaining jobs, and it's been extremely hard to replace those. And I would say there's a lot of social problems that exist in the drug trafficking and other problems with drug and alcohol abuse because of the lack of family-sustaining, good, fulfilling employment opportunities. So, yeah, everybody wants that. How do you get that? Because everybody from here to Pittsburgh wants that in Western Pennsylvania. So we have to be different. We have to be unique. And it will be a slow process where we will hopefully attract more and more businesses that will provide family-sustaining jobs. We have one of the best industrial parks in the state. It offers opportunities for new businesses that many do not. It is pad-ready. We have one of the only industrial parks, so in five states, I think there's only 12 of them, that have the electric transmission capacity that our industrial park has. So we have opportunities to bring new business here. We have a transportation network that is outstanding. And we also need to do as much as we can to keep every employment opportunity that exists here today to stay here. So we want to grow. We wouldn't want to grow as fast as some areas of the southeast corner of Pennsylvania has grown because it's become unmanageable there. And that is the direct result of the push back inland from the D.C. Baltimore metropolitan area for the southeast corner, northeast corner from New York City. So I don't think anybody in Bedford County would welcome that kind of growth. But growth that provides family-sustaining employment opportunities, absolutely. And we do everything we can to support that effort.
It's a tightrope, isn't it? Because what you just mentioned a second ago about the explosive growth of Montgomery County, Maryland, which is the poster child for poor planning.
Yeah.
And the explosive growth of the King of Prussia corridor. I want to tell anybody in Bedford County who would enjoy a 2.5 hour ride at 3 miles an hour on Route 202,
yes,
King of Prussia to Valley Forge,
I've
is
driven
welcome
it.
To it, but I'll come to Bedford anytime.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I came here. So you try to balance this so that you have some opportunity without choking off the fun of living here.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed since you've gotten here, or since I've gotten here, is that you do have an incredible infrastructure. You've mm-hmm. got this I-99, you've got the turnpike, you've mm-hmm. got this in many places, four-lane highway of Route 30. I mean, you've really got all the goods here. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to come here, not to mention water and, as you said, power and land and, mm-hmm. and industrial parks ready to go. So it's not like you have to come and invent it here. They you really have a way to come here.
Well, you're an hour and a half at most from downtown Bedford to State College and the Bryce Jordan Center. Mm-hmm. 2.5 hours, again, as your sheriff story you mentioned earlier, depending on how fast you drive, you can be in Washington, D.C. or Baltimore. You can be at the ocean in about 5 hours from here. So there's some very unique qualities of living here. One of the big detriments, and you didn't even ask me this, but I'm going to share it, is
that's why we're here, Barry.
One of the big detriments to growth in all of Pennsylvania is permitting. Getting companies and private individuals able to acquire permits to build, expand, has become a nightmare. There's a local company in this area that took a year to obtain a permit to expand a parking lot. One of the most recent homes built by a charitable group in another part of the county went through nightmare stories and spent funds that, as the process moved forward, were found to have not been necessary to expend. The permitting and the process of dealing with all of the state and federal regulations is choking economic development, in my opinion, and there's no question about it. And I'm trying to log and develop a journal of all of the events that have resulted in these types of delays for people getting permits to help legislators understand how we need to pull this bureaucracy that's choking all of us back into place where they're there to serve people, as you started to say earlier, as opposed to control people and make them behave. So,
well, maybe things will get better. Who knows? I want to talk a little bit about the opportunity for young people here. We talked about the employment, but are there educational things going on in Bedford County to help respond to the kind of growth you're talking about here with the REIs and the Walmarts and that kind of thing?
In reality, most people, I don't believe, it's not on their horizon and not perceived this way, but I happen to think there are as many, if not more, educational opportunities beyond high school in Bedford County. And by the way, the public high schools in Bedford County they don't take a backseat to anybody in the state. I think we have fantastic school systems. They serve a population, and the mandates being put, again, by the feds, the state government, without funding those mandates, in many cases, creates very frustrating situations for classroom teachers. Yeah. I think they do a fantastic job with what they're being required to do. There's post-secondary opportunities. There's some right here at the Tech Center. There's a great partnership with ACM, Allegheny College of Maryland, and the Tech Center. But when you look at Bedford, you have Penn State Altoona's campus, 45 miles. UPJ and Johnstown, both four-year degree-granting institutions.
And UPJ is Pitt?
Is University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown. You have St. Francis University. You have Mount Aloysius. So we have, within a 50-mile radius, many post-secondary higher education opportunities for students. And in many cases, if people need it because of cost for the student to stay at home to make that possible for them to go to college, they can commute. I think a college experience, at least for part of that 4 years, should be a resident on the campus. But in many cases, that's not possible, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we have wonderful opportunities.
And I found that 35 or 40 miles it takes to get to Altoona campus, which I just went to the other day, the first time at Penn State. As I said, I'm used to major market driving, so this was nothing. I thought this was a ride in the country compared to what I was used to. So this really isn't...
And I'm not saying we can't do more, but as the needs arise, the Tech Center is very agile and flexible in gearing up quickly to meet a new demand that would occur if needed. So I think we have a lot to offer there.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left, and I wanted to get a little bit into the politics a little bit here of Bedford County. You are running for commissioner this coming November, along with the other two, right? It was very interesting to learn to me that all three commissioners run at once here.
That's correct.
And some counties are staggered, but here you do it all at once.
I don't know of any county that it is staggered in.
Yes, there is. There's okay. Several counties that are staggered. They'll run maybe one or two at a time, but never all three. So it's pretty interesting to me that you do that, and it really can create it where you can replace the entire board if the
That's
voters
correct.
Decide you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time you've run for election, correct? Because you were appointed.
No, I ran 4 years ago and was not. I was the third highest vote getter on the Republican side, which means you didn't make the November ballot.
Okay.
And then I was appointed in February of 14 to replace. Commissioner Hauser, who went on to the Southern Alleghenies.
Okay. So this will be the first time you run as an incumbent.
Yes.
Okay. So what will this election mean to folks in Bedford? Is this going to be a big change, you think, or not?
Well, I think everybody running, when we answered questions at Meet Candidates Nights in the primaries, everybody was very consistent on we want to hold the line on taxes to every extent possible. We feel many people were taxed to the max already. So we're not looking at a change like we've just seen in the state government where we went from a very conservative governor to a governor who now feels progressive government and more spending will help the state as opposed to letting the money stay with somebody who has to pay the taxes. So I don't think they'll see any change in the philosophy of smaller government, effective government, keep taxes low as possible. I can't tell you that I have any plans to do anything but be as supportive for economic development as I can be, work cooperatively with all the other municipalities, business and industry, do what we can to make this the best place to live and work in. We can.
Well, that's pretty succinct, and I appreciate your view on that. And is there anything we missed here? Anything I meant to ask you I should have?
I did want to get in a point about the golf outing for wounded veterans, where is a group of us as veterans and citizens working together to put a golf outing on 9/11 at the Bedford Springs to support a wounded or injured veteran. The money will be raised to try and support a track chair that will be given to the Independence Fund that's different than the Wounded Warrior Fund. I'd tell you another effort that's occurring in the county right now is an effort to bring a Young Life chapter to Bedford County. That's a Christian organization that hires and places a person in a local area to help work with youth who have no church affiliation whatsoever and eventually hopefully get them aligned with a church and come to know Christ. So those are two initiatives that I think are very positive things that I'm working with. And hope we can make them both successful.
Okay, that's the 11th September 2015, the Bedford County Veterans Citizens for Heroes. And if you'd like to learn more, is there a website or anything they can go to?
Not yet. They can. We'll be getting information out through the service clubs in the county. Most of which, all the ones that I've talked to so far, are very supportive. Going to work together to help. Hopefully we can fund one track chair, which costs $16,000. But it makes a tremendously handicapped veteran mobile as much as every extent possible and far more than traditionally can be done.
Well, that is a great note to end this program, and thank you very, very much for organizing and doing that, and I know that everyone's going to really benefit from it. And it's called the Bedford County Wounded Injured Veterans Golf Outing on 11 September at the Omni Bedford Springs. What better place to play around the golf?
Yeah.
Commissioner DeLauro, thank you very much for joining us. You've really been a real treat to have you, and thank you very much for taking the time to do it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com. To learn more about the wonders of Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, visit DestinationDelco.com. See you again next Saturday right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.